Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memory of Ram Golder, and today we're in Maseches Pesachim, Daf Kuf Tes Vav, the 10th Perek, Arvei Pesachim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara says, L'nichruch inish matzah mor b'hadari hadari v'necho. A man should not wrap matzah and mor together and eat. Mishum desvirlan matzah b'zman hazed deraisa. Or mor the Rabbanim, because we hold that matzah is a mitzvah deraisa even nowadays, and mor is a mitzvah the Rabbanim nowadays, in the absence of the Karban Pesach. V'asi mor the Rabbanim v'atulei mula matzah deraisa. So if they're eaten together, the Mar the Rabbanan will come and nullify the matzah deraisa. The Rashbam explains that the taste of the matzah will be nullified. The Gemara explains that even the Mandam, who generally holds mitzvahs eim vatu zo, mitzvahs do not nullify each other, agrees that a mitzvah the Rabbanan does nullify a mitzvah deraisa. The Rashbam explains that the argument to say that the two mitzvah foods generally do not nullify each other is that they are similar to each other and that they are both eaten in fulfillment of similar mitzvahs. This is not the case where one food is eaten for a mitzvah deraisa and the other for a mitzvah derabanan. The Gemara identifies the mandamer who holds mitzvahs ein mevatel zo zo as Hillel, who would eat Karban Pesach, matzah, and mor together. The Gemara concludes that because Rabbanan argued with Hillel, and it was not stated whom the halacha follows, matzah and mor should be eaten separately with brachos, and then together without brachos, zechu l'mikdash kehillel, as a commemoration on the base of mikdash, according to Hillel. Point number two, Rava says, bala matzah yatzah, bala maror lo yatzah. If one swallowed matzah, he fulfilled the mitzvah, but if one swallowed maror, he did not fulfill the mitzvah. The Rashbam explains that the Gemara refers to swallowing matzah and maror whole, without chewing them. Eating this way is acceptable for the mitzvah of matzah, which must be simply be eaten, but not with the mitzvah of maror, whose bitter taste must be sensed to commemorate the maroru as chayehem, and they embitter their lives. Karchem besiv ubalan af yedei matzah nami lo yatzah. If he wrapped them in bast, material that grows around a palm tree, and swallowed them whole, he didn't even fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. The Rosh Mam explains that neither the matzah nor the maror considered have been in the person's mouth, and his swallowing them is no more than an act of eating than throwing a stone into a bag is. And point number three, the Gemara asks what the reason is for the custom to remove the table that was in front of the person who would lead the Seder and say the Agada, and it answers, saying the yeshiva of Rabbi Yanai, Kedeshi Akiro Tinokos Vishal, so that the children will notice and ask about this unusual behavior. The Rosh Mam knows that nowadays when everyone sits together at one large table and it would be impractical to remove it, we simply move away the Seder plate containing the matzah, maror, and the two cooked items. The Gemara tells the time of Bai saw the table being removed from in front of Rabbah and said, we didn't eat yet, and they're coming to remove the table from before us. So Rabbah told him, Patartan Malomar Manishtana, you exempted us from saying Manishtana. The Rosh Mam explains that the requirement that someone ask about the different things done in the Seder was fulfilled through a Bai's question. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Gemara says, L'nichruch inish matzah umar b'hadeh hadadi v'necho. A man should not wrap matzah umar together and eat, mishum desvir alan matzah b'zman hazeh deraisa umar derabban, because we hold that matzah is a mitzvah deraisa even nowadays, and umar is a mitzvah derabban nowadays in the absence of the Karban Pesach. V'asi umar derabban mevatleg l'matzah deraisa. So if they're eaten together, the umar derabban will come and nullify the matzah deraisa. Rosh Mam explains that the taste of the matzah will be nullified. The Gemara explains that even the Manda Amr, who generally holds mitzvahs ein mevatel zo, mitzvahs do not nullify each other, agrees that a mitzvah derabanan does nullify a mitzvah deraisa. The Rosh Mam explains that the argument to say that the two mitzvah foods generally do not nullify each other is that they're similar to each other in that they are both eaten in fulfillment of similar mitzvahs. This is not the case where one food is eaten for a mitzvah deraisa and the other for a mitzvah derabanan. The Gemara identifies the Manda Amr, who holds that mitzvahs ein mevatel zo, as Hillel, who would eat the Karban Pesach, matzah, and maror together. The Gemara concludes that because the Rabbanan argued with Hillel, and it was not stated whom the halakha follows, matzah and maror should be eaten separately, with brachos, and then together without brachos, zeichu mikdash kehillel, as a commemoration on the base of mikdash, according to Hillel. Point which Rava says, bala matzah yatzah, bala maror lo yatzah. If one swallowed matzah, he fulfilled the mitzvah, but if one swallowed maror, he did not fulfill the mitzvah. Rosh Mam explains that the Gemara refers to swallowing matzah and maror whole, without chewing them. Eating this way is acceptable for the mitzvah matzah, which must simply be eaten, but not the mitzvah maror, whose bitter taste must be sensed to commemorate v'maru as chayem, and they embitter their lives. Karchon besiv ubalan af yedei matzah nami lo yatzah. If he wrapped them in bast, material that grows around a palm tree, and swallowed them whole, he did not even fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. Rosh Mam explains that neither the matzah nor the maror are considered to have been in the person's mouth, and his swallowing them is no more than an act of eating than throwing a stone into a bag is. And point number 3, the Gemara asks what the reason is for the custom to remove the table that was in front of the person who would lead the Seder and say the Haggadah, and it answers, citing the Shiva Rabbi Yannai, Kideshi Akiro Tinokos Yishalu, so the children will notice and ask about this unusual behavior. The Rosh Hashanah notes that nowadays, when everyone sits together at one large table and would be impractical to remove it, we simply move away the Seder plate containing the matzah, maror, and 2 cooked items. The Gemara tells us of the time that Abai saw the table being removed from in front of Rabbah and said, we didn't eat yet, and they're coming and removing the table from before us. So Rabbah told them, Patart Milgomar Manishtana, you exempted us from saying Manishtana. The Rosh Hashanah explains that the requirement that someone asks about the different things done at the Seder was fulfilled through Abai's question. Alright, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Kuf Tes Vav, and this simmon was suggested to us by a number of people, Uri Berger and Sean Fried from Woodmere, New York, Miro Moskowitz from Teaneck, New Jersey, Naftali Golombek from Brooklyn, and Menashe Reuven Weiss from Yerushalayim. They all suggested Kuf Tes Vav as Ketores, so we use a Ketores maker. So here goes. The Ketores maker, who had an exceptional sense of smell and taste and made sure to savor his matzah and maror separately, was aghast when he saw the one leading the Seder swallow them whole after the table had been removed from in front of him. Once again, it's slow motion. The Ketores maker, that must be more Daf Kuf Tes Vav. The Ketores maker, who had an exceptional sense of smell and taste and made sure to savor his matzah and maror separately, which reminds us, the Gemara says a man should not wrap matzah and maror together and eat them because we hold the matzah is a mitzvah deraisa, even nowadays, and maror is a mitzvah derabana nowadays, in the absence of the Karban Pesach. So if they're eaten together, the maror derabana will come and nullify the matzah deraisa. And the Rosh Hashanah explains that the taste of the matzah will be nullified. And the Gemara explains that even the manda amar, who generally holds that mitzvahs ein mevatel zo azo, mitzvahs do not nullify each other, agrees that a mitzvah derabanan does nullify a mitzvah deraisa. The Rosh Hashanah explains that the argument to say that the two mitzvah foods generally do not nullify each other is that they are similar to each other in that they are both eaten in fulfillment of similar mitzvahs. This isn't the case where one food is eaten for a mitzvah deraisa and the other for a mitzvah derabanan. And the Gemara identifies the man d'amar who holds mitzvahs ein mevatel zo azo as Hillel, who would eat the Karban Pesach, Matzah, and Maror together. The Gemara concludes that because the Rabbanan argued with Hillel, and it was not stated whom the halakha follows, Matzah and Maror should be eaten separately with brachos, and then together without brachos, Zechu Mikdash Kehillel, as a commemoration of the base of Mikdash, according to Hillel. So the Ketores maker, who had an exceptional sense of smell and taste, and made sure to savor his Matzah and Maror separately, was aghast when he saw the one leading the Seder swallow them whole, which reminds us, the Rav says, Bala Matzah Yatza, Bala Maror Yatza. If one swallowed matzah, he fulfilled the mitzvah. But if one swallowed maror, he did not fulfill the mitzvah. And the Shmam explains that the Gemara refers to swallowing matzah and maror whole without chewing them. Eating this way is acceptable for the mitzvah matzah, which must be simply be eaten, but not the mitzvah maror, whose bitter taste must be sensed to commemorate bimaru as chayem, and they embitter their lives. If he wrapped them in baths, material that grows around a palm tree, and swallowed them whole, he didn't even fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. And the Rosh Hashanah explains that neither the matzah nor the maror are considered to have been in the person's mouth, and his swallowing them is no more than an act of eating than throwing a stone into a bag is. So the Ketores maker, who had an exceptional sense of smell and taste, and made sure to savor his matzah and maror separately, was aghast when he saw the one leading the Seder swallow them whole, after the table had been removed in front of him. Which reminds the reason to remove the table that was in front of the person who would lead the Seder and say the Haggadah is Kadeshi Akiro Tinokos Yishalu, so the children will notice and ask about the unusual behavior. The Rosh Hashanah notes that nowadays when everyone sits together at one large table and it would be impractical to remove it, we simply move away the Seder plate containing the matzah maror and the 2 cooked items. And the Gemara tells the time Abai saw the table being removed from in front of Rabbah and said, we didn't eat yet, and they're coming to remove the table from before us. And Rabbah told them, Patartim Milomar Manishtana, you exempted us from saying Manishtana. The Rosh Hashanah explains that the requirement that someone ask about the different things done in the Seder was fulfilled through Abai's question. So once again, the Ketores maker, who had an exceptional sense of smell and taste and made sure to savor his matzah and maror separately, was aghast when he saw the one leading the Seder swallow them whole after the table had been removed in front of him. All right, now it's time for a 4-blot back Chazara. Daf Kuf Yudov. So the Simra Kuf Yudov is a kayak. So here goes. The demonic kayak race. That must be run Daf Kuf Yudov. The demonic kayak race, which required participants to pass between dogs, palm trees, and women, which reminds the Gemara brings a brisa that says there are 3 things that may not pass between 2 men, and that we may not pass between them, and they are the dog, the palm tree, and the woman. Some say also a pig, and some say also a nachash, a snake. Rav Papa, as explained by the Rosh Hashanah, states that if one of these does pass between them, one should say a series of psukim that begin and end with the word kel, God, or lo, no. And this is referenced to psukim in Parshas Balak, where Bilam blesses Bnei Yisrael and states that no harm will come to them, and that they are worthy of bracha because there are no diviners, earth soothsayers, among them. So the demonic kayak race, which required participants to pass between dogs, palm trees, and women, through the Valley of Death, where people slept in the shade of lone palm trees, and the moon, which reminds Rabbi Yitzhak taught, what's the meaning of the pasuk, Gam ki elach begeitz al maves, lo yirara ki ata imadi. Though I walk in the valley overshadowed by death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. This is a reference to one who sleeps in the shade of a lone palm tree or in the shade of the moon. And the Gemara explains that it is only dangerous to sleep in the shade of a lone palm tree if there is no nearby palm tree whose shadow falls on the first one. The Rashbam explains that a demon lurking under a palm tree will move to another one that's nearby rather than harm someone who sleeps under the first tree. The Gemara then proves that this is only true in a field. In a courtyard, on the other hand, it's always dangerous to sleep under a lone palm tree. And the Rashbam explains that there's no room for the demon to leave because it's enclosed in the courtyard. It remains beneath the palm tree and harms the person. So the demonic kayak race, which required participants to pass between dogs, palm trees, and women, through the Valley of Death where people slept in the shade of lone palm trees and the moon, was won by the billionaire scholar who was blessed with great fortune. Which reminds the Gemara teaches that there are two Ketiv demons, and each one is active during a different half of the day. The one that's active before noontime is Ketiv Meriri, and the one that's active after noontime is Ketiv Yashud Saharayim. So once when Abai was going along with Rav Papa on his right side, Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua on his left side, he saw a Ketiv Meriri demon coming towards him on his left side, towards Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua. So Abai switched Rav Papa to his left side and put Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua on his right. When Rav Papa asked Abai why he was placed in harm's way, and Abai seemingly had no concern for him, Abai responded, times are good for you. The Rashbam explains that Abai meant that since Rav Papa is wealthy and blessed with good fortune, he will not be harmed by a demon. Daf Kuf Yud Beis. The Simra Kuf Yud Beis is a Rubik's Cube. So here goes. The poor Rubik's Cube teacher, Rubik's Cube, that must be on Daf Kuf Yud Beis. The poor Rubik's Cube teacher who treated his Shabbos like chol sold his last Rubik's Cube to purchase abrikosos of the Seder, which reminds us the Mishnah taught that even an ani who's supported from the tamchui must fulfill the mitzvah to drink the abrikosos. The Gemara explains the lesson of the Mishnah that even according to Rabbi Kiva, who says, "Aseh Shabbos chol v'al tistara chabrios," make your Shabbos like a weekday and do not be dependent on other people. Hach mishum parsim anisa mode. Here, because of publicizing the miracle, he agrees. In other words, even though Rabbi Kiva maintains that one should not accept staka in order to honor Shabbos, one should do so in order to drink 4 cups of wine at the Seder and thereby publicize the miracle of Yetzias Yisrael. So the poor Rubik's Cube teacher who treated his Shabbos like chol sold his last Rubik's Cube to purchase abrikosos of the Seder, as well as a book for his young son, Free of Mistakes, which reminds us that when Rabbi Kiva was in prison, he told Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai 5 pieces of advice, one of which was, "Kedushat Melamed Es Bincha Lamdehu B'Sefer Muga," when you teach your son, teach him about the Sefer that has been corrected and is therefore free of mistakes. Rava and some say Rav Masharshi explained that specifically Bechadita, when teaching new material, it is imperative that one use a book that is free of mistakes because Shabashta Kevin Da'al, once a mistake enters a child's mind, it enters and it's hard to correct. So the poor Rubik's Cube teacher who treated his Shabbos like chol sold his last Rubik's Cube to purchase abrikosos for the Seder, as well as a book for his young son, Free of Mistakes, titled Travel Tales of Terror on Tuesday and Friday night. Which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa that one should not go out alone at night on Tuesday nights or on Friday nights because Agras Bas Machlas, a female demon, and 18 myriads of destructive angels go out there. The Gemara explains that these were prevalent every night until Agras Bas Machlas encountered Rabbi Kiva Mendoza. She told him, if not for the fact they announced in Shemayim, beware of Hanina and his Torah, I would have endangered you. So he told her, if I am held in esteem in Shemayim, then I decree upon you that you never pass through populated areas again. When she begged him to reconsider, he allowed her to go out on Tuesday nights when villagers do not need to travel to the city the night before for Torah readings or travel home the next day, and Friday nights when people are not permitted to travel. Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. So the Simra Kuf Yud Gimel is a geek. A geek. So here goes. The geeky bachelor. Geeky? That must be run Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. The geeky bachelor who lived in the big city for years, which reminds us, there are 3 people about whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu announces their virtue every day. About a bachelor who lives in a large city where temptations are common and he doesn't sin. About a poor man who returns a lost object that he finds to his owner. And about a rich man who takes miser from his produce in private and thus avoids flaunting his wealth. So the geeky bachelor who lived in the big city for years was in shock. He got lashed for testifying alone about his neighbor. Which reminds the Gemara brings a list of 3 people Kadosh Baruch Hu hates. Hamadabra echad bepeh ve'echad b'lev. One who says one thing with his mouth while meaning another in his heart. One who knows testimony about his friend but doesn't testify on his behalf. and one who sees that his friend committed an aver involving a rias and testifies about him alone without a second witness. And the Gemara illustrates the last case with the story of Zigud, who testified alone about Tuvia before her papa. When her papa had Zigud lashed, Zigud asked, Tuvia chata v'zigud mingad? Tuvia sinned and Zigud is lashed? Her papa told him that two witnesses are required for Beis Din to act, and he testified alone, and therefore he's just merely defaming him, meaning that he's being mosti shemra about him. Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak says in the name of Rav, mutar l'sanoso, the lone witness is allowed to hate the person who did the aver, and he bruises from the pasuk. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, mitzvah l'sanoso. It's a mitzvah to hate him in such a case, as it says in the pasuk, yiras Hashem, snos ra, fear of Hashem is hatred of evil. So the geeky bachelor who lived in the big city for years was in shock. He got lashed for testifying alone about his neighbor, who was an arrogant pauper that no one could understand. Which reminds, the Gemara brings a list of four people who behave in a way the mind cannot tolerate. Rashbam explains that people cannot understand the behavior, and Rashi explains that even the perpetrators regret their own actions eventually and are ashamed of themselves. A pauper who is haughty, a rich man who denies a valid financial claim against them, an old man who commits adultery, and a communal leader who imposes himself upon the community for no reason. The Rashbam explains that he enjoys the honor his position brings him, but he doesn't help his community in their hour of need. Daf Kuf Yudalit. So the symbol of Kuf Yudalit is a kiddie amusement park. So here goes. The mock seder at the kiddie amusement park. Kiddie amusement park? That must mean we're on Daf Kuf Yudalit. The mock seder at the kiddie amusement park got out of hand when some children started fighting over which bracha to say first at Kiddush. Which reminds, Beis Shammai says that one says the bracha on the day Kiddush first, and then he says the bracha on the wine. Whereas Beis Hillel says he says the bracha on the wine first at Kiddush, and then he says the bracha on the day. Abraham explains that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel each have two reasons for the position. Beis Shammai say Kiddush comes first because the day causes the wine to come. Rashbam explains that it's only because it's Yantav that wine is being drunk before the meal, and the day was already sanctified before the wine came to the table. Beis Hillel say the Borei Priya Gavon comes first because the wine causes Kiddush to be said. Rashbam explains that one cannot say Kiddush without either wine or bread. And also, Birchas Yain Tadir, Birchas Yom Eina Tadir, Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir, Tadir Kodem. Alternatively, the bracha over wine is frequent and the bracha over the day is not frequent. And the rule is, in a case of a frequent thing and an infrequent thing, the frequent thing comes first. So the mock seder at the kiddie amusement park got out of hand when some children started fighting over which bracha to say first at Kiddush, while others wouldn't stop dipping. Which reminds us, the Gemara discusses why the Mishnah requires lettuce to be brought from Maror if lettuce was already eaten for karpas, and why we do not say that the mitzvah of Maror was already fulfilled then. Reish Lakish says, Zos omeris mitzvos srichas kavana. This teaches that mitzvahs need kavana, meaning it's because the lettuce eaten as karpas was not eaten with intent to fulfill the mitzvah of Maror that the mitzvah was not fulfilled, and lettuce must be eaten again specifically as Maror. The Gemara dismisses this proof by suggesting a different explanation for lettuce being eaten a second time after the mitzvah of Maror was fulfilled during karpas. So that there will be a distinguishing factor for the children. Rashbam explains that eating lettuce a second time will provoke children to ask questions, as it's unusual to eat vegetables twice during a meal. So the mock seder at the kiddie amusement park got out of hand when some children started fighting over which bracha to say first at Kiddush, while others wouldn't stop dipping, splashing water all over too. Cooked foods. Which reminds us, the Gemara elaborates on the Mishnah statement that shnei tafshilin are brought. My shnei tafshilin, what constitutes two cooked items? Among the opinions the Gemara cites is that of Rav Yosef, who says, sarich shnei minei baser, echad zechel pesach, ve'echad zechel chagiga. One must have two types of meat. One is a commemoration of the Karban Pesach, and another as a commemoration of the Karban Chagiga. And the Rosh Hashanah explains that this is the Chagiga that was brought together with the Karban Pesach. The other views accept that Shnei Tavshilin commemorate these two Karbanas, but argue that foods other than meat also achieve this. All right, now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos, Shabbos, and Erevin. Number 1. Which depth do we learn that according to Rabbi Yosef, the Shnei Tavshilin are two types of meat, one representing the Pesach and one for its Chagiga? That's on Daf Kuf Yadal. Good. Number 2. Which depth do we learn that one of the three people that Hashem proclaims their virtue is the bachelor who lives in a large city and doesn't fall to temptation? That's on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. Good. Number 3. Which depth do we learn that one may swallow matzah whole but may not swallow maror whole because he needs to taste the bitterness? That's on Daf Kuf Tes Vav. Good. Number 4. Which depth do we learn that even Rabbi Kiva, who holds Aseh Shabbas Chachol Va'al Tistarech Lebrios, would agree that an ani should attain 4 cups of wine for presuming Nisa? That's on Daf Kuf Yud Beis. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we Malkos Beis Shem Beis Hillel regarding which comes first at Kiddush, the bracha on the yom or the yayin? That's on Daf Kuf Yud Dalet. Good. Number 6. which that the one that one should not walk alone on Tuesday and Friday nights. That's on Daf Kuf Yud Beis. Good number seven, which that the one that the reason for removing the table or the Seder plate in front of the one leading the Seder is to get the children to ask questions. That's on Daf Kuf Tes Vav. Good number eight, which that the one the reason for being Tovel twice is to get the children to ask questions. That's on Daf Kuf Yadalad. Good number nine, which W and the one of the four people whose behavior is difficult to understand is the pauper who acts in a haughty manner. That's on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. Good. And number 10, which W and that Kishuf does work against Zugos, including higher numbers than 10, which is illustrating the story of the sorceress and her ex-husband. That's on Daf Kuf Yud. Good. Now the three bonus questions. Number one, which W and the one should daven not to get sick? That's on Daf Lamed Beis and Shabbos. Great. Number two, which stuff are you going to about Bar Hedya, the dream interpreter? That's on Daf Nun Vav and Brachas. Good. And number three, which stuff do we discuss creating a human enclosure? That's on Daf Mem Dalet and Erevin. Excellent. All right, that concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.